Fantasy.
Tired of the usual media lies? Then tune into Punkonomics, an anarchistic and scholarly review of current local and world issues with Dr. Benjamin Ballack and Jesse Velez. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. here on WPRK.
All right, welcome to Punkonomics, your weekly show at 2 o'clock that talks about all sorts of crazy stuff, more importantly, social issues all around the world as well as locally. My name is Jesse Velez. Welcome to Punkonomics. And here is our host, Dr. Benny Ballack.
Hello. I think I'm a number two.
There you go. You're number two.
All right. Yeah. I feel like number two.
You ever seen that program? You're number nine.
But of course, talk about classics. You're bringing back. You're playing pistols, you know.
Yes.
The Prisoner. Man, it's like kind of, wow.
They brought you back, huh?
Weird dreams, nightmares of my youth come back. That ball. Oh, man. It hasn't made it, though, you know, like into the cult scene. I haven't thought about it for years. I wonder if it has like a fan page. You know, when a lot of things from the 80s and 70s have become... You ever heard of The Prisoner, Mitch?
No, I don't think so.
Mitch Kubicki is here with us again.
That's right. Mitch is in the house.
No, you haven't heard about it, right? I know.
So,
it's
yeah.
One of those things that haven't really, you know, kind of... They need to make a new The Prisoner. Like Doctor Who exploded so massively.
Which it did really well.
Yeah, and it's good. I mean, it's very well done. I enjoyed it as a kid, and I enjoy it now with my kids, you know. That's kind of weird, but The Prisoner was really good.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we need to look into that later. Absolutely.
Well, so was the Avengers.
Yes, the Avengers.
With Miss Peel?
Oh, sure, of course. Of course, she became like, when one of the, yeah, right, I mean, she became the last generation of that show. Was kind of for people who don't know, you know, not older elders. It was kind of a spoofy, kind of funny, campy James Bond thing
on the British side,
television,
but for couples,
yeah,
basically.
And of course, what is most funny? I showed it to my kids because we got all fans of the British comedy that actually crossed the pond in the 90s. The new British comedy, the one thing that was clean enough to make it across the pond, absolutely fabulous, which is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And really is. I mean, people think, what, that's clean? I'm saying, yeah,
yes,
that's clean.
Yes.
Because, you know, Bottom didn't make it. The young ones, I suppose, among punksters did make it.
And also, Are You Being Served?
Yeah, but that's totally clean.
If you read between the lines, it's like...
Sure, but yeah.
Whoa.
But it's nothing like... But anyway, Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous, the skinny blonde, I don't know how to define her exactly. She's beyond definition. She was the starlet, the sexy, leather bodysuit clad, the inspiration for kind of a Kill Bill type look.
Which also was the inspiration for Austin Powers and all those other comedy
acts. It's a little bit in that kind of buzz, but in some sense, yeah, that's good stuff. I must say that's a classic where me and my kids, you know, I find it, as I banned, we discussed this before, as I banned Disney and Nickelodeon in my family for my preteen
Disney, that's a word right there.
That was acceptable. So my daughter's not allowed to watch, all the Disney and Nickelodeon popular shows. But since she's like 10, she's been watching Absolutely
Sneaking
Fabulous.
It in.
If she's listening right now. No, Eddie.
You know, you mentioned Disney. The last couple of days, the Disney employees have been in an uproar. I don't know if you've checked that out.
Oh, I think I saw it on the periphery. I'll admit that I haven't.
Yeah, well, the housekeepers, you know, people that pretty much take care of Disney, for the most part, they're making like $9 an hour. Kind of like the same situation as Walmart, but of course, Disney being squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about it, but they've been doing marches the last couple days, wanting an increase. I guess it's a contract that's being negotiated, and Disney offered to bring it up to $10, which is, you know, ridiculous compared to that. You know, what they're charging for admission at Disney has gone up to 100%.
Well, compared to cost of living, compared to what wages used to be in America 30 years ago, we keep on the theme, right, of how American capitalism was at its peak. you know, in the mid-70s. So people should know that if minimum wage had kept up with where it was back in the day when we had growth and innovation and spanking most modern infrastructure in the world, not looking like a third world country that we increasingly look like today. Come on, it's embarrassing.
I know.
The minimum wage would be somewhere around 15, if not 20 bucks, depending how you want to measure it. So that's why, you know, back then, one parent working, two kids in the house, living in modest working class neighborhood, going to school, having opportunity was quite feasible.
Sounds like an
American dream turned into the American nightmare for most of us to think of that as a possibility where somebody could be, you know, working in a factory. So nothing, you know, low skilled labor, still maintaining a family of four in a respectable lifestyle.
I was actually very, very surprised to see all of a sudden these employees out of nowhere just unionize and do a walk and that kind of stuff. But here's something you probably will get a kick out of. I don't know if you're aware, but shout out to the public defender that stood up to that judge in Daytona.
That brawl or something?
Yes.
Judges beating up?
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm all for that. I'd like to see some... given the way that our justice system works right now, I mean, I think maybe, you know, medieval would be great.
Right.
Well, they just, you know, like Game of Thrones, and I will not spoil for anybody, especially not my wife who hasn't seen the episode yet.
Which was good.
But, you know, just declare a champion and duke it out, you know? Yep. I mean, that's probably less arbitrary than what's going on right now, so, hey.
But here's what happened in a nutshell. I guess the public defender brought up his client, and you know, here in America we have the right for a speedy trial.
Mm.
And apparently the judge didn't want to deal with it and was telling the attorney to sit down and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney basically said, well, you know, I have every right here to represent my client to ask for a speedy, you know, trial. The judge said, well, you know, if I had a rock here, I'd toss it at you. And, of course, he kept saying, you know, sit down and shut up and all that. And then at one point the judge says, well, you know, why don't you come back here so I can kick your eh? And all you see in the camera is the public defender walk into Judge Chambers.
Uh-oh.
And then you hear this. You want to blah, 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 blah? Bah, boom, boom, and that was it. I guess the judge jumped on the defender, but strangely enough, and this is why I'm so down on the population here, but the judge walked out, and the people that were in the court actually started applauding for the judge. And what they didn't understand is that if you allow a judge to run the court amok like that, then what's the use of having the justice system? You know, we might as well just go back to the kings and queens and slaughter them.
It's not a fair trial if you're beating up your
right.
Yeah,
frankly,
right.
The only people who get a fair trial anymore are wealthy people.
Exactly, exactly.
That's a kind of worms that deserves to get open and reopened many times because it's a really ugly, ugly story.
I know
the justice system. A very, very even more embarrassing than our. You know, slow internet speeds and third world road system.
but not as embarrassing as the county wasting $500,000. Oh, get this.
Mm-hmm.
To do a research on bears. Now,
on
bears, right? Because of the population. Yeah, they're okay. I mean, that one that was napping the one that was napping on the hammock seemed to be a pretty cool bear.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. The county used $20,000 to do research on the homeless, which they identified was about 70 students from UCF homeless living out in the tribal woods right around where I live.
Yeah, a lot of people in Florida at least you don't freeze to death.
So where's the balance here? $500,000 to study the bears compared to $20,000 to study the homeless to get something done? Mm. I mean, where are the priorities? It's
exactly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So now they've come up with a possible solution of offering the bears donuts. I don't know if you're... No, this is for real.
Seriously?
Seriously. They think that might help, I don't know, maybe sway the bears to a different location. The only place they're going to go to is Dunkin' Donuts, and I will fear for our law enforcement, which, you know, sponsors Dunkin' and all those
like police and bears
places.
Don't mix.
Well, you know, I mean, they like you to taste
the
bear.
That's another form we could get behind for the justice system.
Of course, of course. But, you know, enough clowning around. What's the topic for today?
Actually, yeah, I mean, well... even managed to pull, I mean, the topic, well, first of all, you know, you already, you know, the plan has already gone out the window, naturally. I mean, but I'll reel it up. It's still hanging by a hand there. I'll help it up again, I think, in a moment. But the only thing I'm already kind of, you know, arguing with you about this whole bear story here. I mean, it's important to study bears, quite frankly. It's important to study a lot of things. We can afford $500,000 of bear research. We could afford $10 million of bear research. In fact, wonderful. Maybe we can, I don't know, save the bears, bring more bears around, bears police. I don't know, yeah? But, Dunkin' Donuts, no, it shouldn't be. Are we giving like corporate, no, I don't want to give any corporate support to any kind of donuts. So no Dunkin', no, just donuts, whatever. I like donuts, but I shouldn't eat them. I don't. I try not to.
Well, what's your favorite?
I don't know. I'm not a specialist in donuts. Quite frankly, it's too much even for me. I mean, I'm not that. My problem, the reason why I'm chubby is more like salt and fat, and at least, you know, I'm fat food, for right? good stuff.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? Donuts is like crack. You know, I mean, it's,
true.
Except that after you eat one, you get like a heartburn. You know, I do actually right away.
Yeah, so me too.
That stops me for sure. But to reel back, I'd say that. Is it more important? Are homeless students more important? Of course they are. We can afford a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know?
$500,000 compared to $20,000.
I see the comparison. I'm just giving you trouble. I mean, I'm just harassing you over the issue of why are you comparing it to that? I mean, you know, we talk about where we put the billions and billions. It's not in bear research, you know?
Well, true,
so the fact
true.
That we're not, you know, we're stopping at what, in New York too, you can't feed the homeless, something you riled about last time, and as
right.
well you should. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Why do we have homeless while we live in this, like, opulent, and that's a big economic issue. The whole rhetoric, so let me kind of get there and then go to the window and try and pull the plan up, is that we're not broke. We're you know,
well, America's still the richest country in the world by far, like,
yeah, I mean, and we still are, you know, the still, question yeah. is bottom. There's plenty of funding. We could fund a lot of things. The metaphor, something in the older economics we discussed several times, it's a bad metaphor that is used in macroeconomics by, it's kind of conservatives, including the conservative in chief, the president. And, you know, that's something we'll have to worry about here. I mean, this notion that people call him left-wing or socialist, I mean, it's a major joke, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure later on you're going to give us a whole, like, ode to Obama with all the environmental things. So he found something he could be, like, a little bit less rotten, you know, and all the Democrats have got an Obama-gasm on the internet. So, I mean, listen, maybe he's doing a good thing, but my money is, this is rhetoric as usual.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. But, okay, trying to stay on topic, it's the notion, the macroeconomy is not a matter of, oh, we have to live within our means. We have debt, so we have to cut, you know? I mean, it doesn't work like that. I'm sorry, this is mechanical here. Now, can there be a problem with debt? Yeah. The problem is that we're building debt, we're using it, the debt is actually used quite happily by our masters, that I like to call them,
right.
you know, for lack of a better word. Actually, I have a lot of other words. Most of them are not allowed on radio. But, you know, economic elites is a typical term, and let's, you know, in the proverbial 1%, whatever you want to call them, right? So this is another source of the racket, which is our economy. It's not a free market for sure. It's barely capitalism even, yeah? What was the plan? The plan was to try and create, even in class I'm the same thing. I explain why I do stuff, you know? I feel that's quite useful,
sure,
generally,
absolutely.
You know? It's at least, you know, people see that there's at least some thought behind, some attempted method behind the madness. So the idea is, you know, I post a lot of stuff from entertaining videos to serious long articles that nobody reads. And not even I kind of skim them sometimes, you know. I'm regularly on the blog and I try and keep it going. And when I'm leaving, by the way, well, no, actually, I'm very happy for a month and a half.
Yeah, you'll have a good time, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have a good time and an educational time. And somebody told me today, you know, sit back on the, lay down on the beach and sip cocktail. I said, that's not what I, it's not me. You don't know me yet. I like run amok through archaeological digs, you know, and museums and slam shots, you know, hardcore.
And hopefully you won't be worried that when you come back, the NSA's picked me up for saying, you know, such
no, crazy
stuff.
Be good. Uh-oh. Be good. Yeah. because your house sitting my house and taking care of the dog, three cats, and a snake, which I have to show you tonight how to feed the snake.
Oh, that's right. That's
it's
right.
Fun, very much fun. It's actually good fun to feed a snake. You just throw that thawed out mouse and he kind of goes for it. It's kind of pretty cool. You'll enjoy it. It's like National Geographic in a
in real life, right?
It's pretty cool. It's not a live mouse. That's pretty boring. It's we throw him out.
What's the fun?
Well, I mean, it's awful. You know, it's kind of all, I can't take it. I'm too much of a softy to see the struggle of life and death here on a documentary, maybe. So the plan was, let's bring the show and the blog a little bit more in sync. You know, so of course our plans are very tentative. Yeah, and that's okay. But the idea was that I go through some of the recent posts, and we'll see. Some might stick, some we want to talk about, some might not. And funnily enough, it worked, because we're getting back to the bears, the donuts, and the cops at the moment.
Right.
It goes full circle.
It does. Nothing is more satisfying to me than complete chaos that somehow kind of
works on order there,
It somehow connects, you know? I mean, that somehow, I don't know. So let's do this. So I went back a couple of posts on punkonomics.org, and I found a little meme that I posted. It's quite relevant for it, and I'll kind of, you know, I'll dispense with abusive language that I like to use initially. But and the title is 1%er, more like 0.001%er, laughing all the way to the bank. Then we have a picture of this fine elderly white gentleman smiling with much glee. And this is Rob Walton of the Walton family, one of the richest families in the world, one of the few really heavies that are not from finance, but from actual, you know, well, retail. Not that they manufacture or innovate particularly, but they do some, provide a service. And he's the chairman of Walmart, actually. He's the world's wealthiest, which is the world's wealthiest corporation, so and the world's greatest retailer.
Yep.
He's the 11th richest man on the planet. His family runs a charity called the Walton Family Foundation. In the last 23 years, he hasn't given a single penny to the charity. Instead, he has used it to avoid an estimated $3 billion in estate tax.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like the charity's for himself.
Well, so the part which uses language that, No, there's no dirty language, remarkably. I said about this that here's another reason for the deep disdain I have for charity, along with the fashionable BS bourgeois rhetoric of self-congratulation, social entrepreneurship, socially responsible enterprise, and all of those feel good. Now, of course, nothing wrong with charity. It's an ancient institution, right? But I would put to you that in the biblical, you know, in religious, you know, you think charity, you think religion is kind of, right? Remember the teeth? Right? There was a 10% tax in all monotheistic religions. Hunter-gatherers, probably a higher one. Yeah? Puritans, right? Who were kind of weird people when they came to America in many ways. Just now. That was Jesse bringing us water because he's a darling. sweetie darling. Some fab reference there. So it's just to put it in context, you know. I mean, the Puritans really loved the market, you know, kind of a free market enterprise. We think sometimes that Protestants were important in the shift towards modernity and all that, and Puritans were kind of high-octane Protestants, if you will. And the notion that if you are rich, God loves you, you know, seems perverse when you're looking at those weird people on television on the religious channels, you know, when they're all, you know, prosperity gospel and all this, like, oh, Jesus told me that you need to give me $1 million so I buy a fifth Rolls Royce stuff. You know, those guys, these insanity. I mean, my God, if there is a hell, I know where they're going. But the Puritans may have been pretty scary people in some sense, but when you were loved by God and rich in a Puritan kind of Pennsylvania society, you gave back to the community.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Big time. So when you're giving like at least 10% and probably more, as many societies, both ancient said primitive as well as in anthropology, we see that where actually the wealthy, the powerful show their power, not by stepping on the poor, but by, on the contrary, by kind of helping them and all that. So you can be all like, oh, charity and feel good about yourself if you actually do it. So again, charity is not a bad thing, but it's certainly not enough. It's a drop in the bucket. And it's so often, you know, you take a whole chunk in one hand and then you, you know, you give back some crumbs with the other. You know, like we discussed in our globalization class, how people talk about, oh, we already give so much help to the poor countries. And I'm like, no, no.
The strings attached.
Not even. Key, I mean, yeah. A few percentage points. The flow of capital, of money, of wealth comes from Africa to America, not the other way around. No, no, sorry. There's a trickle. And yeah, most of it is for dictators and weapons and stuff. There's a trickle.
A majority is for the weapons and
but
dictators.
But a mass amount of just hardcore. I'm not talking about, you know, in the past. I'm not talking about the days of slavery. I'm talking about today. The vast majority of the third world, the poor world, is subsidizing us, not the other way around. It wasn't back in the day. It's still today. So I find it somewhat disingenuous. And I think, you know, if we just took some of Mr. Walton's money, if nothing else, that's just the $3 billion of very low already tax, minute tax that he doesn't pay, you know? Never mind the taxes in the days when, again, America was leading the world. And again, you can criticize. You can say it was leading the world. I mean, if you're a lefty or a serious anti-colonialist and all, you can criticize the Kennedy days and the... But, you know, by capitalist standards, it was functional, it was working well. And the tax rate was much higher. So, yeah.
Well, it was more of a progressive tax, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the top, when you, and again, it's based on brackets, right? So the notion is that after you've already, you know, put in the bank a few million, then that 10th million, the $100 million you're putting in the bank, because you're certainly not spending it, therefore you're not stimulating the economy, you're not creating jobs.
Yeah, from an economic point of view, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you're creating jobs, you're creating jobs. You're not even creating jobs abroad at that point. You're doing nothing. You're just creating mass kind of pre-capitalist, ancient era dynasties. You know? And if you have a society that's structured in terms of its power and wealth like a Babylonian empire, you're not going to have no free market, no freedom of any kind. You're going to be living in a Babylonian empire. And it's, unless you are the emperor.
And then it's good.
For a while. You remember that when I really get depressed, really depressed and angry, I remember, you know, look at the long-term history and remember that, yeah, do most people eat, you know what, most of the time? Yeah. But when an elite becomes rapacious and cruel, sooner or later, the moment comes. Yeah. And the knives come out. And then, tragically, it gets replaced by another elite, typically.
Right,
yeah?
Right.
But at least they pay, you know, because sadly, I'm not much of a believer in the just rewards in the afterlife. So, you know, I don't have that comfort of thinking that it's going to burn.
It's just unfortunate that those kind of movements, particularly like the Arab Spring, you know, they didn't do it, you know, quick enough.
Well, it's,
you know, I know it takes time,
and it's tough. My God, what they pulled off, and then they got played. It's so hard. It's actually a good, you know, got played.
The problem is they can't really do anything without a foreign influence. You can't just have a revolution anymore. I mean, you're going to have influence from the United States and everywhere else around the world.
You can't even have a resolution here in the United States just about for anything.
Well, but no, what Mitch's saying is a major element, and that could link into something that we touched upon before in the Ukraine, you know, which basically the putsch, as they used to call it, the coup, the illegal, violent takeover of a country by wealthy oligarchs. Supported by the United States. I mean, I heard the president in this morning. I actually posted about that too.
You mean our president?
NPR, yes.
Okay.
Say he's visiting Europe. He's in Poland, and he was talking to Polish people. Now, let's have some context, because I posted that he was comparing basically the new regime in Ukraine with Solidarność, the solidarity movement, which in the late 70s and early 80s was the first spark that brought down the Soviet totalitarian dictatorships of Eastern Europe. Very brave people, by popular support, you know? And making that comparison in Poland, I was like, my God, first, not the previous one that quit, the one before Jan Paweł, John Paul, is probably spinning in his grave, angrily. because he helped actually with that. I mean, I can't even say anything about this. It's so disgusting when you compare, you know, this and in Poland. I mean, my God, I'm sure a lot of people there were really kind of throwing up in their mouths.
Well, a lot of what Obama says is PR, to be honest.
Yeah,
with
but
you,
I mean, right? Yeah, but he outdid himself on this one. He really outdid himself to make a comparison. So, why did I go even there? A lot of these things going on around the world, whether it's Egypt that had a secular kind of young people freedom against an evil dictatorship that has been oppressing them for generations, with the support of the United States and its European, you know, lapdogs. Basically, all you know. That's a polite way of
calling
them. At
least Western Europe, right?
Yeah. And they threw them out with beautiful, you know, popular solidarity and you know, a lot of grassroots, real. And then the Muslim Brotherhood, who have been fighting. I'm afraid of them. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I am. But they have been fighting forever, you know, kind of stepped in there. Not forever, since the 50s. Kind of stepped in and kind of, initially they weren't the ones responsible for that uprising, except for, again, grassroots Muslim Brothers, you know, were in on it. Mm-hmm. But the entrenched kind of like unions, in a sense, you know, a movement wasn't. Of course, easy for us to say. They've been tortured and murdered and kidnapped and suppressed for generations, you know. So they got an election, and we had a, you know, an Islamic president elected there, Morsi. And did he scare people? Yeah. Did he do annoying things? Yes, he did. But was he shutting down democracy and creating a new Islamic republic? No, he wasn't. All right. Check me up on that. Right. No, he wasn't. All right. That wasn't happening. And probably he would have had a lot of electoral pressure against the movements that he did. I mean, listen, it's a traditional poor country. A lot of people are deeply religious. So, I mean, people out there, a lot of you guys are religious, conservatives, you know. You have my respect. Okay, you know, but
sure. Fine.
Yeah, it's America is a very religious and highly conservative country, too. Deal with it, right? I mean, if it's a democracy, in a sense, that I have nothing against, yeah? Personally, I may, because it's not kind of my thing, but if... Yeah? You see, it wasn't a dictatorship, and the army was playing it and getting external support. And to go back to Mitch's point, it's so important. This isn't happening in a vacuum. It's very difficult. If you get a democratically elected regime, you know, in a place, it could get corrupted. And if you get a decent, honest, from the people person trying to make things better, well, they're probably going to, death squads are going to come at their door pretty quickly. Soon, if not an outright invasion, or CIA coups and assassinations, etc., etc. And that brings me to, and I want to at least kind of raise it, we'll see if we want to go there, Venezuela, because every time I bang my head against the wall, I mean, well, I see, I mean, what you hear about what's going on in Venezuela, people, are lies. And as I go on this rant, and shut me down in about 3 minutes if I don't manage to stifle myself, please, I mean, aren't American all into conspiracy theory? Don't you know the government's lying to you, you know? Don't you? Aren't America... I used to, as a big America lover when I lived abroad, and still, I was always like, man, Americans, they don't trust authority. That's kind of... If I had to say one thing that I love about Americans, that's it. You know, that's the number one. But I hear people who, on the one hand, they're like, oh, the government is hiding from us stuff about Benghazi. And then... But everything else they say you believe. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? It drives me nuts. You know, where is that true, you know? Oh, they're hiding aliens under, you know, Virginia. Okay, maybe they are. But you think they're not involved? We have evidence.
Right. Well, the problem is that people here, well, not all of them, but good majority of people have the what I call the football mentality. It's kind of like, our team is going to win no matter what. And until both teams decide to work together.
Yeah, but I mean, they think Obama is lying about his birth certificate. But then they think, but what he tells us about Venezuela is like fighting for freedom, or Ukraine for that matter, I can add.
Right,
it's a similar situation, just that Ukraine was completely lost. That's it. The fascist won. And Venezuela, I don't think they will, but. By the way, and then I really kind of, I should stop my going crazy on this, but in some sense, I've seen that one of the last things that's coming out now is that this uprising, CIA-funded, rich fascist billionaire-funded and sponsored, though a lot of good people are duped into believing in it, so I have to say that, is eventually beginning to crack the Chavista. You know, the democratic government of Venezuela and its popular support. A lot of people are not directly in government. They're in local government, they're in militias, they're, you know, and they have been willing to be patient with very gradual market reforms going on in Venezuela and with a very unloyal opposition taking activities there, you know, and we can open this whole notion about the fact that there's no freedom of press there, there's no democracy, because it's a big lie, right? Nobody's perfect, yeah? And it's tricky. I've had intervention forever, you know? If you're all open, oh, anybody can come in. Oh, you know, Mr. CIA, please come in. You know, do anything you want. Oh, have a violent uprising against an elected government. Oh, that's okay. We won't stop you. We let's cancel the police, shall we? Sounds wonderful. I'm all for it. But you know how long that's going to last before the junta will be back and people will be back, you know, enslaved very quickly. So anyway, there's pressure from below, from the majority that says, well, look what happens from being nice to all these relatively wealthy, urban, pro-West, English-speaking people. We should have taken them, arrested them, and confiscated their property and had a real Marxist revolution. We told you so. That voice is beginning to carry weight. Venezuelans, you know, the poor Venezuelans were patient because they were getting something. Things were better. I mean, poverty alleviation is a miracle, what happened in Venezuela in the past 10 years. A miracle. Nowhere else, ever. So you see what I'm saying? I mean, what a tragedy it would be if it will be these so-called freedom pro-West, relatively wealthy people who will bring about a backlash of popular, old-school, kind of confiscate the rich, which, frankly, I think will not work. Because, right. Sadly, that kind of revolution, we've seen that it doesn't work very well, especially in a global economy where you're connected, you need to sell your goods, you need to...
Yeah. Closed economy is a tough thing to...
Very tricky.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a closed economy.
Yeah.
And let's go to a couple tunes here.
Yeah.
For those of you who are wondering how to get a hold of us, 407-646-2915. And if you're getting out of your car and you want to continue listening to us, WPRK.org. That's the place you want to go to. And, of course, if you are going to go and pass out somewhere, when you wake up tomorrow, you can read Dr. Balak's blog, as well as punkonomics.org. Anyway, here we go. Little EBN retro. A lot of people don't know them. It's actually it's Emergency Broadcast Network. And for those fans out there, I don't know, have you heard of EBN?
No.
Okay. Well, they're from the pretty much the 80s. It's actually Jack Dangers from Meat Beat Manifesto.
Oh, I've seen
a lot of the small little projects that he did, mm-hmm. Incognito. I got turned on to them by actually his other half, Mark Pisto, who was consolidated back then. Very militant for animal rights, that sort of thing. Anyway, EBN.
Oh, back to the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Animal rights all the way.
I was waiting for the...
This
the
one is called... this one is called Shoot the MAC-10.
We have the MAC-1011.
I'll shoot the MAC-10.
We have the AK-47S.
I'll shoot the MAC-10.
We have a 12-gauge skeet shotgun.
I'll shoot the MAC-10.
You make it look easy.
You engage 10 targets alternately, close to far, in 90 seconds. You have 30 seconds to load and make ready. Stand by.
Let's see that again.
I'm not ready.
ready for that.
Ready for this?
With the Mac 1011, nobody gets away today from the spray of the burst of a 30-round box magazine. Is a clean little unit, only weighs 8 pounds in a big 10 inches. Highly efficient with a rapid rate of fire at 1,100 rounds per minute. Don't move, don't blink, don't laugh, it'll cut you in half. It's the killer machine, a 9mm fit, nice balance, compact, real easy to conceal, and it sells real well all the way to Argentina, Israel, Yugoslavia, Murder Incorporated, from New York to Detroit, all the way to the hood.
I'll shoot the Mac 10.
That feels better.
Does that feel better?
I enjoy it.
On the ass, swinging the cane, packing the Mac, hitting the fool, whipping out a tool, dead fool, black on black. Can't shoot, can't aim, when the pain overfed, lost your head, now a little kid shot dead. A toy soldier in the army of juvenile drug lords, sweating young kids like a pedophile, 12 years old, sneaking the Mac in school, talking about you need protection, cool, baby, real cool. Sticking the Mac in the back of an old man, and taking all that they can, of what he could have took by hand. Shot, pop, kids drop, he didn't mean it, we seen it, and he seen us, the Mac has turned into his penis. Taking the bed, giving a nice and gentle caress, the back going, says yes, it puts the S up on his chest. Load the clip, now you're hitting, now you're a man. Don't flip, stop tripping, cause your heart is in your hand.
I'll show you what it does.
Let's see that again.
I'll shoot the Mac 10.
But you might need to use it right here, right now. In your own backyard, better scoop the gale. Cause I just passed a pretty dope that is in the government. Just don't get it. There's a war on here. Everybody's for a beer. Let's go out and get some beer. Shoot some beer on a clear on a nigga or two. You know, it's something to do. Do reduce the population and purify the nation. It's a form of recreation. That's good, clean fun for the whole damn family.
It's fun. I enjoy it. Let's see that again.
Shoot the Mac 10. 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 I'll shoot the Mac 10.
Join me, NRA.
I'll shoot the Mac
10. There are sometimes when we blaze the fire, a lot of people might think we are racist, but we born racism, you know. We born racial discrimination. We are for every nation. So equal rights and justice is the motto. The motto.
Reggae music is God's music, and so if it is God's music, it is everybody's music, Rasta.
But we born racism, you know.
Revolution.
Set up us in
racial discrimination, we are for every nation, so.
Why not get together in limit one number, one identity, you know?
The revolution.
Music we believe God's children is a part of righteousness. And God's children is not only black man. You see me not come for preach, call on for preach.
But we born racism, you know?
How you mean?
When will they see? The system
won't control the mind. Come with me.
When will they see?
Vibes run,
all to come confess. Can't live in between your run and your bless.
You forgot the east. Where man
come with these vibes around the less we stress. It's time for all to come confess. Can't live in between your wrong and your blessed. Living a clean, a living a mess. Tired of happy and mellow with stress. You care for yourself, you're not care for the rest. Don't fall about mine and turn in a mess. Can't babble and wanna
equal rights and
one
come
over,
baby, baby.
That's how they use the angry and vex to be the bad man, they will be in trouble.
Equal rights and justice.
When the earth man and you're under arrest. When will they see you? The lights of the sky, the power of the Trinity. When will they see me? The system won't control the mind of you and family. When will they see me? The lights of the sky, the power of the Trinity. When will they see me? The system won't control the mind of you and family.
All right, and welcome back to Punkonomics. And we were off the air. We were, going through a whole bunch of topics, a bunch of nuts here, multitasking topics, right?
Yep.
Anyway,
and I do have like Facebook and Twitter and everything on in case anybody doesn't want to call but wants to say something.
They want to remain anonymous so we don't catch your caller ID.
Yeah, I'm just joking about Lily's that. Been asking me right now about why. So why am I? Why even bother? In some sense, I mean, I don't know. Bother even more. What's the right polite way? Why complaining? Yeah, there you go.
Bark, you mean? Bark.
Complaining about Obama saying stuff like that. And, I say he's a tool. But perhaps it is. So my answer is that it's part of trying to get over the whole Democrats versus Republican theater that is very debilitating, I think, for the political discourse.
Sure. And we don't take any sides here. We just kind of go with the truth.
Our commitment to equal opportunity hate is as strong as ever,
Although I am a little, biased sometimes.
Well, yeah, it's acceptable. Quite frankly, the Republicans are definitely not in a good time. In fact, for the past 35, 40 years, the Republicans have not been particularly good at much.
Well, they definitely have been good to me. Fair. So, that's why I'm biased, because as a worker, as a regular Joe, I've gotten the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah. But, but again, I wouldn't say it's a Democrat-Republican necessary thing. At least that's my take on this. It's a general shift of both parties. The theater.
Right.
The struggle, the real underlying power between, working people, having labor unions that function better, things like that. When we had the Great Depression, the reason why we came out of it, and it's a complex element, and it includes a war and a lot of other things. But at the time, too, the Wall Street, the same banksters, well, not the same ones, their daddies, in some case literally, in other case their spiritual daddies, were also, in fact, organizing a coup. A military fascist coup, because they thought this chap there in Germany that we've been funding for the past 20 years, because incidentally, the Nazi Party in Germany was funded by wealthy industrialists and finance, most notably from New York, Manhattan,
right,
Wall Street. Same families. I mean, famously, I know all the liberals. Okay, shout out there. Yeah, Preston Bush.
That's true.
Not pretty. The Bush family was involved in that too, but they were all in it, shall we say? IBM was also. Jews in Nazi concentration camps had numbers on their hands. Because that was corresponding to the punch card system IBM developed for the Nazis. Yeah, so it's through and through. I know, you're a Mac user. You'd be happy, right?
That's right.
through and through, it's a class thing. It's not so much important to kind of name the names necessarily, though sometimes it is too. Why was I saying this? It's a general movement. So what happened to America since the 70s, it's not, Ronald Reagan, it's his fault.
Yes, it
is. I have no love for Ronald Reagan, There's absolutely no reason to have anything but disdain for him. So let me be out about that. Though I have no more love for Bill Clinton. So let's dispense with
Bubba.
Saint Democrat, as opposed to Saint Republican. The two were... Clinton was lucky to be in a time where the economy was doing well, and and he has excuses. I don't know, and maybe he ran things not as bad as he could in some cases, maybe. But the overall shift long term, in which, people's wages were cut, taxes were cut, a regulation was cut, the government became a branch of multinational corporations, trade agreement. Clinton will be remembered for NAFTA, not in a nice way.
Sure.
That's where my equal opportunity hate comes from. That the problem is not that the Punch and Judy show between the Democrats and the Republicans is overwhelmingly symbolic. And while there are real differences, I like to always say, like gay rights, reproductive rights. On that... But the Democrats use it. Why? Because they just really, really care about... No. They don't care about anything but money and getting elected. At least those, the powerful Democrats.
Right.
They're good Republicans and good Democrats. The good ones, you don't know their names because they're like not invited to any committee. Yes. They're in the back.
Well, they usually have them chasing UFOs
and
stuff like
that.
They're
not bought and sold by multinational corporations. It's an ugly picture, but it's very important to see behind the curtain to do a Wizard of Oz, and realize that it's a bit of a game. And oh yeah, and the Democrats, why? Because it's a wedge effect, right? You know, I mean, of course. Everybody likes, I mean, even Dick Cheney is for gay rights, right? Because he has a lesbian daughter, right, you know? So right. Rich people don't want their gay kids to get married, and I'm all for it. But so long as nobody cares about, you know, the poor, gay, you know, and maybe even of color people, you know, that are on the very, very bottom of our system, so long as we don't do anything about them, we're all good. You know, rich people can get married now, even if they're gay. Wonderful. But it's a classic thing for Democrats to pick up and claim for, because you know, they win out of it.
And that's a good point, because when you look at the media and today's sitcoms on TV, that's what's going on right now. You see gay couples presented in a sitcom, you know, getting married or married, you know, adopting kids. But when you look at their economics, their financials, they're all rich. They don't show the gay students struggling, you know, waiting on tables, you know, trying to support a family. They don't show that one because apparently there's nothing funny about it, you know, which of course there's nothing funny about somebody struggling, but they don't want to show that because they want to present, what, President Johnson called the, Great Society. Mm. You know, I mean, that still resonates. And I guess the question would be, are we still the Great Society? I don't know.
Yeah, that was also a buzzword, but again, you know, so it was FDR maybe the last good president America had? Probably.
Could be.
Relatively. Sure. Interestingly enough, a very classic kind of, you know, person with aristocrat, as much as American aristocracy, you know, not technically aristocrat, but as much as you get. But
we talked about Eisenhower a little bit too.
Yeah, though Eisenhower, you know, I'm torn a little bit. Yeah, he's kind of, yeah. He has his charm, but then he didn't do anything about it, did he? You know, he just let us, he delivered America into the,
at least we got
into
the interstate
corporate
system,
military,
right?
Industrial complex hands of Truman, didn't they?
And the freeway.
Thank you very much, you know?
Yeah, the interstate system. Yeah.
No, but FDR, but again, you know, FDR was did a decent job, but he wouldn't have if we didn't have a massive popular movement in America, a major union movement, you know, including red socialists and such, you know, that were being arrested and shot and beaten on a regular basis, so that he had this kind of and a long tradition of that, by the way. Remember my shtick, which I will repeat maybe every week, you know, like what made America great since the 19th century plantation capitalism we were in, you know, was the people, not the magnet tycoons, you know, that today, that's what you're taught in school, right? Oh, all these
right.
Wonderfully powerful rich people. And then if you're liberal, oh, FDR, you know, I mean, FDR did a decent job. I'll give you that. But the reason he did that, he saved America from the Depression, and set it on a very, you know, successful course, that the military industrial complex then destroyed after World War II. Was that he had the mass continuation of the 19th century massive popular worker, farmers, you know, the salt of the earth, to use an old term, yeah, of Americans that were powerful and scared those ultra wealthy. You know, now they're not scared. They can get away with anything. We're pathetic. Back to Mr. Walton there, laughing all the way to the bank, you know. Ah, got a charity, you know. Get to make, like, big parties. We eat caviar and art galleries. We feel oh so good about ourselves while we are rounding up the people.
Well, and like we learned in class with Moral Hazard and the bailout of the banks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that takes away all risk, you know what I mean? You can make the riskiest investments, gamble, yeah. And who pays but the American taxpayer? So
it's all about that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, you know, if you let it, that's how it is. That, and against this kind of model that I think both parties are following, in a sense that we should hope for good masters. I mean, that is technically, you know, Uncle Tom.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not actually on board with all the book really kind of translated so many language was, it's not fair this whole in the 60s, the civil rights movement kind of turned this whole kind of notion, Uncle Tom. I'm a little uncomfortable with it in a sense. I mean, but you know, I'm poor Uncle Tom, a fictional character, and maybe you can do that. And of course, the great show that now apparently is not so great, I haven't seen it yet, The Boondocks, big recommendation here.
Funny.
Season 1 to 3, brilliant, brilliant stuff.
I haven't seen it.
They have Uncle Raucus there, you know,
yeah.
Which is quite the character.
Yeah.
But that's not Uncle Tom. But in the technical sense of the notion that in this ugly world of ours, when we are slaves and the masters rule and have the right to do anything they want to us, all we can hope for is a decent, kind master. It's unacceptable. Sorry, I'm not buying into that.
Well, and you brought up the banks and going to the bank. We were talking earlier about the marijuana initiative here in Orlando. And I, you know, kind of implied that I wasn't too comfortable with, you know, the leadership or the legal leadership, which would be Morgan and Morgan, who, you know, of course, they've put money behind the campaign. And, you know, I can sympathize with they have family members who've been under chemo or and whatnot. But I'm kind of concerned, you know, having lived in California where we've had a struggle with the clinics and trying to provide, you know, something for people who are going through the chemo, you know, and it's been a constant fight with the state attorney every time there's a political campaign. And here in Florida, you know, for some reason, they're gearing up to pretty much, in my perception, close every single avenue that the regular Joe, like myself, or anybody else for that matter, they go out there and put a farm together, you know, do a product, employ people, you know, and provide, you know, quality medical marijuana. And it seems like right now the way it's heading in Tallahassee is there's only going to be five entities that are going to be able to do that. Plus, they're going to corner off a section of where you can go and relieve yourself for not better, you know.
And five organizations is not a free market.
Right.
By any means.
Well, I mean, to spoil the party just a little bit, you know, and everybody's quite excited about Colorado. There's been a meme on the internet about how there's already been a decline in crime, but that kind of makes sense. So sure. I don't know if it's true. I've seen the memes. I haven't seen the statistics, right? But maybe. But it should be known that even though they are several steps ahead, they're literally just legalizing. Finally, you know?
Right.
And everybody's in agreement, by the way. Everybody, even the cops, you know? I mean, the only people who are opposed to legalization of pot are the private prison industrial complex right. and the pharmaceutical industry companies. That will not have monopoly on the drugs they sell us, much more dangerous and harming, etc. So it's purely that. And no expert, sociologist, psychologist, law enforcement, bar, so everybody knows this is an insanity, doesn't work, and just increases all the damage. It's a no-brainer. But they've also done it in, everybody's excited, but it's problematic again to bring back to these notions of class and we care about the, you know, so we care about the rich kids that want to smoke pot. We don't want them to get into trouble.
Right.
Because the price of this legal marijuana in Colorado is high because it's limited. It's very expensive. It's not, you can't grow it in your backyard like that artisanal, organic. No. You have, well, maybe organic, but you have to pay high fees. So there's a tremendous, like you were saying, it's not a free market. It's not even a free market and that's in where California, Colorado either.
That's where California differs. At least San Francisco, the city does allow you to grow a certain amount for your own consumption.
But they're not sale, right? So that's kind of, okay, there's a hole between the two kind of, which is,
But still, I mean, for somebody who doesn't have the money to go to a clinic, they can grow it themselves.
Yeah, it's also decriminalization. There's a lot of different kind of stages. I mean, in Europe, it was they had to actually deal with those kind of issues as they were harmonizing. One of the things they actually dealt with more effectively than most in Europe was dealing with that issue without really doing any kind of massive change. Just leave it be already.
Right. But a lot of the problem, and this goes back to your class in media and propaganda, you know, this situation is not moving fast enough here in the States because of back in the 30s, 40s, how they used to go do all this propaganda for, you know, don't do any drugs. Or smoke marijuana is the evil drug. I mean, you have what's that movie? Reefer Madness, where you see people just going completely psychotic.
But you ever see Hemp for Victory? Check it out on YouTube.
No, I've never
seen
that.
That's actually government pro-hemp propaganda.
Really?
For the war.
Okay. Gotcha.
Interesting.
Gotcha. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that it's just being manipulated for profit.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the medical thing. I mean, I got to say, I mean, I see the advantages here, especially if you're taking a hell of a lot of, analgesic, I mean, pain medication and appetite. I mean, surely it's helpful. I mean, my God, just to kick back and relax, it's probably helpful, you know, and you're in such a situation, let alone the issues of eating and all that. But it's true what the opponents say, in a sense, that this is just a foot in the door, you know. This
For full legalization.
It's true, and so it should be. I mean, let's just, you know. It should be.
But while it's a foot in the door, it's also a delay into progress, because when they decided to get rid of prohibition, it was quick.
Yeah.
You know, so they're already set up to wheel and deal at the time, and you had your, you know, local bar owners. I mean, boom, right back into business. And this type of situation is completely different, because they are restricting to just a certain people. And it makes me wonder, you know, I mean, I'm sure the pharmaceuticals are behind it, because when you compare, you know, natural herb to hardcore medication like Xanax, you know, and you go to purchase it, you're going to be paying a lot more for that Xanax than you are going to be paying for that marijuana.
Well, I don't know. You know, antidepressants, I'm not familiar with the price of Xanax, but antidepressants are dirt cheap. It's the summer, you know.
If you get generics, well, but, you know, that's a whole other argument. I feel that generics, if they were the same as the brand, they would cost close to the same thing as...
Not at all. They are. Basically,
well, they
without a logo,
it's all you're paying massive profits of the pharmaceutical industry. That's one of the big issues, by the way, that we mentioned last week in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, where it will basically attempt to kill the generic medication market. I mean, one could argue that perhaps the generic manufacturer might not have. One can argue, but I'm not convinced. You know, the same quality.
I'm convinced.
Not really.
I'm convinced because I've done both generic and brand, and I can tell a difference. It has to do a lot with the composition and the fillers that they put in. I mean, one drug may do the effects that it's made for, but it might affect your stomach. Versus the brand name has the fillers that's not going to irritate your stomach. So hence, it's not the same thing.
Well, maybe you have a specific experience.
It's similar, but it's not the same thing. It's not put together the same way.
It's just as good. And the giant corporations are not, you think they care about your stomach? They care about cutting costs.
Well, I mean, they don't care about the stomach, because then they'll give you another pill for your stomach.
Yeah, exactly. There's a side effect. Take this pill, more money.
It's monopoly. Right. It's monopoly. Exactly. You know, they want to. It's monopoly. It's cutting out competition. And one of the stipulations specifically that's been leaked through WikiLeaks about the Trans-Pacific Partnership that has been lobbied for a long time in America and will probably be shoved down our throats pretty soon, the notion that whenever you come up with any kind of other use to a medication, the patent protection clock clicks in again. So you see, you have this drug, and for a certain amount of years you have legal protection from competition, so you can derive the profit from it, the monopolistic profit, not the normal competitive market profit. But if you happen to have some kind of study, which you fund, that shows, oh, actually, you know, this drug is actually also good against that foot fungus that's been bothering you, you know. Another 20 years, exactly. We're good. So that's really an opening the door to even further racketeering. Now, of course, some of our listeners may have taken a traditional neoclassical econ class, and they say, wait a minute, which is, as my students know, about 80%... what's the correct term? I think I said BS, right?
I can say that.
So proven. I mean, not ideology, not opinion, just BS. The math is even wrong, let alone the underlying assumptions.
Well, it's for the perfect world. It's not a real world.
Frankly?
Not even?
Not even. Okay. You know? Okay, some of it. We could discount that, though it's only 60% BS under that assumption. Right? Yeah. But wait. Okay. So you know that, but we must provide... I mean, if we don't give, some pharmaceutical company 20 years to collect on some kind of drug that they have for blood pressure or whatever, or depression, whatever it may be, because they invented it in their own laboratories, right? And if we don't provide them with the extraordinary profits, simply just competitive profits, we don't provide them with this, by the way, where's the free market ideology and all that? State monopoly sounds like old school socialism to me. But never mind. If we don't do that, then... who is going to cure cancer? They won't have the incentive to put the billions of dollars that they needed to research and eventually cure cancer, AIDS, all these horrible diseases. And then what we will do? And that the textbook typically ends there. So now, we must allow monopoly. You know, the problem is that over 3/4 of all our pharmaceutical research money, by the most conservative measures, never mind that they're curing, you know, erectile dysfunction, which is not perhaps the most important thing.
Oh, that's important.
Well, maybe, you know, I don't know. But let's talk about the feminist critique of why Viagra is covered by most insurance and birth control isn't. You know, let's open that can later. Or, you know, when you're ruled, when you, you know, you're, rule, what's the Greek, you know, we know kleptocracy, plutocracy. What's the Greek word for a rule by horny old men? We'll deal with that later. But 3/4 is cosmetic. So actually, they're using that to figure out ways of injecting chihuahuas with Botox and stuff, which I found out that actually
rather
you can
than
do,
curing
is,
cancer,
but you're finding it in yours.
Like that's already curing. That's cruelty to animals on top of it, on top of the of that. But you see, so it's one of those classic economic things where, like Mitch was saying, you know, the textbook is kind of an ideal world, and I kind of came back at it and said, not even, you know. But still, the point is important. Yeah, it's a kind of in an ideal world, it's just like libertarians, my good libertarian friends out there. Hey. In a perfect world, yeah, but give me a break. You know, we must have a policeman on the block. Otherwise, sure, the bears will eat us.
But here's the thing, too, is, you know...
the bear show.
Bears.
that same research money, too, gets written off on taxes.
Ah, yes.
That's where that whole, the private sector didn't build the bridges and all that kind of stuff, to me, comes in, because that is our money. Therefore, that research is ours. Mm-hmm. You know, so something's wrong with the law, but we have to go to station identification, and we'll be right back with Punkonomics.
Trillions offshore.
The preceding program did not reflect the views or opinions of the station, its management, or employees.
This is Ralph Nader. You should listen to WPRK, it's the voice of the students. It'll give you a bigger framework.
Media lies, then tune into Punkonomics, an anarchistic and scholarly review of current local and world issues with Dr. Benjamin Balick and Jesse Velez. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. here on WPRK.
The views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WPRK, its management, or employees of Rollins College.
Excuse me, mate. You got a light, please? Here I'm on. Blessing. Now this is the original shot and cue, your friend to you. I'm not going to be part of the herbalist, them, seeing... All of the ganja man them. All of the ganja woman them. Worldwide. Yeah, man. The solid vinyl thing, you know. I agreed. Weed man, give me the ganja. We don't want no bush, I want the real sensimilia. No, me can't take it no longer. Give me the RZA and a light. Weed man, give me the ganja.
All right, welcome back to Punkonomics. We kind of chose that song for our intro just to get everybody out there thinking about this local, state, and issue in the country that needs to be addressed, hopefully to help people who are really having a hard time with chemo and several other ailments. Anyway, we were talking about the marijuana initiative and how it...
We had a nice comment... on the phone.
Yes, absolutely.
Give the man a plug.
A big shout out to Matt Donnelly. That Matt Donnelly has a hey Shaheen, how you doing? Welcome. Another one of our
it is a walk-in show.
It's a walk-in
right?
show.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
To be in the neighborhood. Yeah.
But a good shout out is you know, great when people call in, but it's also really awesome when one of your coworkers calls in and says, "Hey, you guys are doing a great job out there making us look good." So Matt Donnelly, thank you. Matt is usually on Saturdays, and definitely. Oh, we got tickets. People bringing us tickets. What can I say? Pretty soon, caviar. Yeah. Anyway, going back to our topics.
I'm chatting actually on Facebook with Lily Yu. I'm not giving her full name because, you know, she needs to get employed. Doesn't need to be associated with the likes of us.
Oh, and 407-646-2915 for those of you who want to call in and ask questions or just jump into the conversation.
I mean, I'm old. I'll never forget that moment for the first time I played an MMORPG, you know, like World of Warcraft back in the day, and some students kind of helped me out through the world there, and the first dungeon I went into, I didn't manage to quite play everything and read the chat window and all that multi, you know, it's hard when you're old to do. I'm all right now.
Multitasking,
yeah. Like, you know, it takes some practice, especially when you're not used to it and stuff, and I'll never forget it because it burnt in my soul, right, that one of those people, not my student, but some of they were playing with us, asked at some point, is he old? That really, like, that's burning still there, like, somewhere in the back of my mind. So
I get that all the time.
Having said that, I am struggling to kind of chat on Facebook here on my notebook, and I'm trying to keep a Twitter open, you know, just in case. So I wanted to say that if people want to use any kind of mean, I will try with all my apologies if I miss it. But if somebody tweets at Dear Balak, like I say, you know, yeah, go to punkonomics.org. All the links are there. So that's an easy place to.
And for live streaming, WPRK.org.
Yeah.
Remember that, so.
And all info and podcasts and blah, blah, blah. Having said that, so Lily pointed out to us that, yeah, I'm fortunate to have a relatively high-quality employer insurance. It's cost a fortune, and with copay and everything, again, if you're used to civilized capitalist country health insurance, of course, even that looks pretty bad. But it's better than people who don't have insurance. So then those antidepressants are much more expensive, yeah? And a lot of people aren't insured, and a lot of poor people are not covered by Obamacare, and the costs overall yeah, so it's one of those things that, again, everybody's yelling about, like, pro-Obamacare, are you a nut job Republican that hates everything, or don't you hate it? But the truth be told is that what we got is a watered-down, barely any good, corporate-accepted, give me something I can sell to the people, and you can still rape them just a little bit more gently, please.
Well, another foot in the door.
Yeah. Well, and what I said was, I commented to my friend the other day, I said, Obamacare, even by standards of universal health care, isn't even a good system.
Right, of course.
No,
sure.
No, it's not even a universal health care. It's by standard of anything. It's
exactly.
It's a very small, and then it depends. It gets complicated, as a lot of these things are, you know, the issues of do you expand Medicaid? That then depends. So a lot of states, like reactionary, nasty states like Florida, didn't.
Right, right.
So a whole bunch of people kind of, well, in theory, it was supposed to be taken care of, but not in Florida and in many other states.
But let me jump in on this for a second, because, yeah, I do agree, you know, with Obamacare, you know, being kind of sloppy, you know, put together. But then again, at the same time, aren't we supposed to start doing something? And to me, at least that opens up the conversation.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree, but to me, you shouldn't just pass something and roll with it, you know, without even having a discussion.
But that is exactly what's been going on all these years.
And everybody knew. It's drug legalization, by the way. I got to say this. Everybody, even doctors who do in America. I mean, doctors are rich all over the world.
Right.
You know, in America, they're extra rich.
Yeah.
That's true. Though that's not where all that money goes. Well, in Europe, they're rich. But not that rich.
No, I said you're a doctor, too.
Well, I'm not a medical doctor.
Actually, you are a doctor because you're curing ignorance.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Economic
ignorance.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I came up with that.
Paychecking is good for that, huh?
Yeah.
I actually came up with that because, you know.
Cutting your check, are you?
I used to call all my professors doctors, and one of them says, don't call me a doctor. I just got a master's. I'm going like, hey, you're curing, you know, ignorance, so you are a doctor.
That's sweet, you know. Yeah, we work hard for that, doctor.
Years.
Yeah. And then you take the pay cut, by the way. That's another thing. You know, the choice when you sit, like, this is like, you know, analytics here. If you sitting at the point of, shall I get a PhD or not? If you do, your lifetime income is cut in half. So just a warning out there, you know.
Yeah.
Warning to those. But, you know, can you put a price on the pursuit of knowledge?
No, you can't.
I don't know.
So you gotta pay for it.
I can pay my bills. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
You got a point. Okay. Can I put you on the air?
Oh yeah. We
have a caller.
We'll get
here.
Back.
Cool.
We'll get back. Call us first.
Can I put you on the air?
Sure. No, I guess.
You can ask Dr. Balak directly.
I don't know.
Hello.
Oh. Oh dear.
They left.
Uh oh. But did you get the question?
Barely.
Oh.
Barely.
Let's try and reconstruct.
Caller. If you can call us back, we'll put you up in the air and you can ask Dr. Balak directly about what he thinks about I couldn't get exactly what you were getting at, but it sounded like a good point.
Oh, well, hopefully, try again. Yeah,
try again. Call us 407-646-2915.
Or tweet.
TikTok.
Dear Valen.
Even
doctors in America, when the argument started after 2008, where a majority, nurses, 80-some percent, even doctors hit at 69% universal health care. Now, for the very first meeting that the Obama administration had, that was off the table. It's like, all the stuff I promised during the campaign, forget that. That was just BS. The first meeting. They didn't wait for the second meeting. First meeting.
You know? Right off the bat. Yeah.
Right off the bat. And then they were suggesting, okay, how about we put a public option so that you have a universal healthcare system that kind of competes with a private.
Let me put you on the air, okay?
No.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Competition, what are you, a communist? Yeah. We live in an upside-down world.
That sounds pretty generic, right?
We're going to lower the prices.
Okay.
Raise the fees.
Hey, guys, we got Anne on the phone. She called back.
All right.
Yeah, she's got a burning question for us.
Okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and I am thoroughly enjoying the topic.
Thank you.
Okay, first off, Harvard and Stanford are approved through scientific studies that we already have receptors in our brain that specifically respond to cannabinoids from cannabis that help to de-stress us.
Mm-hmm.
Also proving that cannabis is a great protection against radiation. Now, I'm going to try and make this quick because this is an earful and a mouthful at the same time. There is a world-renowned on WakingTimes.com. People can go and read two world-renowned scientists. One is a world-renowned biochemist who's won 8 international scientific awards for his study. Another is a world-renowned neuroscientist from Switzerland, and they are both saying the same thing. If we do not cut out chemtrails, smart meter grids, cell phone towers, Wi-Fi in the classrooms with smart boards, and do not put a warning label on the outside of the cell phone boxes. What they are discovering, utilizing scientific studies, and I'm really not making any of this up. When you go and research this on WakingTimes.com, you'll find them saying the truth. What all of this does is it destroys our organic DNA structure, which is the most horrifying. Not to mention the fact that it causes agitation to the system, it causes chronic fatigue, and this to me is one of the biggest issues. Dr. Rumi is a world-renowned doctor, was just online with Dave Wingington, an ex-meteorologist, and another world-renowned doctor, talking about how they are spraying synthetic nanoparticulates into the chemtrails, which there are people all over the hospital, she says, that are now coming in countries where they spray heavy aluminum oxides in the air in the name of man-made global climate change, which is a farce. They are showing up in the hospital
to block
with bacterial, viral, and fungal plasma brain infections. And I can assure you that I am, I actually just had gone through all sorts of things directly related to what I'm saying. So I wanted to put this out there because there is scientific evidence and studies supporting what I'm saying. And cannabis is a great offset to these pollutants, but we can meditate, we can worry about politics, we can talk about everything under the sun and moon, but until we cut out what is destroying our organic DNA structure and polluting our system, the ecosystem, we ain't going to get far. So let's look at the military-industrial complex and let's ask our country, why is it that in Peru and in Thailand, because I've been to both of those places, they do not spray at all. But when you come back into America from coast to coast, where are our blue skies? Where are the parents who have children outside playing sports, inhaling this stuff in, because we're not informed? If we could just highlight these two articles, WakingTimes.com, neuroscientist talks about how cell phone towers are destroying the electromagnetic frequency grid with which the birds migrate, not to mention what they're doing to us. These are all new articles, and I appreciate what you're talking about. Cannabis will help offset this as much as, you know, lots of other herbs, but we need to start talking about what is happening to our blue skies and what is that doing to us. Do you know that when we breathe in these heavy aluminum particulates, they get past our blood-brain barrier and they wreak havoc on our neurological.
We're eating this stuff. You don't.
Brain.
You don't even have to wait till it falls on you from the sky. You're eating it already.
Play into what you're talking about. I know I'm talking a lot, and I'm so done. And thank you for the.
No,
time.
No. Thanks a lot. That's great. That's great. It's appreciate
actually,
it.
It's actually appreciate great. I thank, just thank came you, out Anne. Of the chemistry.
Okay.
Let's.
So
you totally.
Later, guys. Keep fighting the good fight. I love you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Care.
Thank you.
It is all true.
No, listen. You know, I mean, it's. I'm not. You know, specifically qualified. And many of us. And this is a chronic problem, right? In a sense. So what do you know? I mean, a lot of. Some of the things she said were really like, yeah, straight up. Okay. Like I was saying, I mean, aluminum. I mean, heavy metals. We're filled with them. You know, I'm not. Frankly, I'm saying I'm not too worried about the chemtrails because we're eating it unless you're rich and a food Nazi. And, you know.
Right. Well, pesticides alone. I mean,
pesticides, exposure everywhere. I'm not sure about, you know, I'm always afraid and I know that I'm biased. I want my wireless everywhere because I'm a complete tech geek and I'm full. But I yell at, I guess tonight, if Charlotte's listening, my wife, she's there goes, poor Talia is now having her cell phone yanked away from her at this very moment.
She's gonna
at least keep it away from your body or something. Where do you start? I know that Wi-Fi actually is very weak compared to cell, so it's the cell phone you want to watch with. Okay, this isn't the medical show, right? I'm not qualified. Like, my PhD is in economics, not in this.
Yeah.
However, you know, so, and a lot of people, I'm sure, are listening to what Anne was saying and going probably like, chemtrail, that's conspiracy theory and stuff. I don't know. But, like I said, it's all over the place. Is it specifically these two studies that she mentioned? Are they, you know, one thing that we do as economists is follow the money, right? So, like, when people are questioning climate change, catastrophic climate change at this point, comfortably I can say, well, not comfortably because I'm scared beepless, but, you know.
Right.
Is there no doubt that we have man-made massive climate change and we're facing an inevitable catastrophe? I'm yelling, sorry. Yes. There is
absolutely
no doubt.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt. How do I know? I'm not a climate scientist, right? Don't you watch Fox Network or CNN? Don't you see that we have a show in which we have balance, right? Fair and balanced. So on the one hand, we have the consensus of all working scientists. And on the other hand, we have a dude paid by the energy companies. Yeah. And that's balance.
Right, right.
That's not balance. That is BS. You know, it's like, let's talk about geology. On the one hand, we have, like, you know, the church in the Middle Ages. And on the other hand, we have, like, modern science. No, that's not how it's done.
Right.
So, having said that, on the networks, we hear all this stuff. We're not quite sure what's true, what isn't, what's a conspiracy, what's not. But what we should be is skeptical and risk-averse. We are exposed to tremendous amount of stuff. Who's doing the science? I have a good buddy of mine works for the EPA, you know? They have barely any budgets. It's pretty much over. And when they come up with conclusions, they file them. And that's where it stays. We are exposed to mass amounts of poison. So you wanna come back and tell us, I don't buy exactly into what Anne said specifically. That specific article, I don't buy into it. So first of all, don't quote a study funded by the chemical industry.
Right, yeah.
Number one, let's check that out, you know. Be cautious. Maybe it's over-alarming. Maybe that's not the main. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Frankly, I'm kind of being called conspiracy theory before.
You know,
nobody's policing it. Nobody taking care. And that's what actually Lily was just saying. So it allows me just to link back to our website that I posted a meme that's very nice. Which shows like a whole bunch of people who work for Monsanto. Talk about where we get a lot of our poisons in our body. And yes, by the way, we are filled with them. Whether we're getting, it's hard to find out whether we're getting them from the chemtrails, from the food, from the water, from the air.
Either way,
we're getting them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The kids are filled with it. They're poisoned to the brim. But then we find, I have on my website, right, a list, and I say the U.S. is the most corrupt nation in the world. The only nation where things got so corrupt, corruption itself is legal.
Beautiful.
So I like to say stuff. Yeah, it's pretty clever. No, you know, if I say so myself, you know, that's why I worked like 8 years at UNC, you know, bleeding out of my ears, doing math. But seriously, you know, a list of Monsanto employees, their position in Monsanto, and then they find, oh my God, they're all senators. You know, in chief committees, on the House, Senate, House, advisors to presidents, vice presidents, all of them, right? And this is the revolving door. Yeah. This is a system where nobody's policing this. Nobody cares. Nobody's measuring the stuff. Or if they are measuring it, that is not impacting policy because policy is determined. If they have a little extra aluminum they need to stick somewhere, they stick it anywhere they want. So I'm just saying, let us not immediately jump because I could see it coming potentially, you know? I mean, I'm familiar with this, I like conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. I think many of them turn out to be true 20 years later, yeah? So if you're thinking, ah, chemtrails, that's not serious. I don't know. Maybe it isn't.
But
better be cautious. And if it's not coming through that, it's coming elsewhere because nobody's policing it. And in fact, our government, the police is owned by the very same companies that are busted poisoning us completely.
But then at the same time, you know, I mean, I respect anybody who says that this climate change is, you know, basically a big hoax. You know what? The way I look at it is cross-reference. If you look in history, in particular the 1800s, the scientists back then already knew that the Earth was getting hot. Okay. Not only what they knew that was getting hot, they're already looking at solar energy in 1878 in France. There was a scientist who put together the first, umbrella collecting electricity, which actually fueled the steam.
That's all over the third world. You know?
Right. So, for anybody to say that it's not happening, I mean, obviously you have two train of thoughts. Either you were born 10 or 15 years ago and you haven't noticed the climate change. Like some of us, like myself, I have seen the climate change.
We're not scientists, you know. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, in the case of,
but just logic, so kinda, just plain logic.
Is it
hotter? Okay, I look at it this way. I mean, is it hotter for me when I lived here 30 something years ago compared
cycles.
To today? Yes,
there
of course,
cycles,
right. Of course. That could be the argument. That could be the argument. Right. But I guess what I'm saying is, you can't turn a blind eye. To things that
then
are
you
actually
have to be
happening.
Risk averse.
Right.
When on the one hand,
better to be more cautious than
right.
Yeah, we create some really create some jobs and do some new update our technology. On the other hand, we all die horrible deaths.
Right.
So well, how are you going to manage that risk?
The question is: do we really want to ignore the signs? I mean, it's kind of like saying, well, if you get on the boat and you go 3 miles down, you're going to fall off a cliff.
The head of the Senate Committee of Science Committee is a young Earth creationist who believed the Earth was created. 6,000 years ago, and you know, people were riding dinosaurs. You know the Flintstone school of archaeology. Yeah, I'm not joking.
Oh,
so
no,
if you wonder
you.
Why we're living in this insane. I mean, if there are the future generations probably living in hovels, you know, and eating radiated rats or something, will look at us really. I mean, they will spit on our graves.
It is, you know, it is actually very, very true, global warming. It is happening right now, and I think it's very interesting that the new bill that was just passed, 2-3 days ago, mm-hmm. about CO2 emissions and the coal industry.
Let's see how they wiggle out of that one.
Yeah. Now, most people are actually focusing into fracking and natural gas mm-hmm. because it actually reduces less CO2 and a little bit better than coal.
Yeah.
But now... how are you going to get rid of the coal people who own the politicians?
Mm-hmm. Well, by selling off, by whoring yourself to the fracking people.
The next
perfect
master, right?
I mean, in all honesty, right? I mean, this is the core problem we have. We talk about campaign finance reform, and we should, by the way. It's actually shocking to what extent we don't talk about that. But again, to tie it in with this whole notion, it's difficult to understand the science, but we have problems, and scientists are generally, I mean, far from perfect. Certainly natural science is pretty straightforward. They also actually, unlike economists, by the way, and you have to write who funded your study. So it could, in economics, we don't do that. So people in University of Chicago, either Ivy Leagues, they get paid by bankers to come up with the silliness that you hear in the mainstream media about how economics work. And they don't even have to write it at the top of their paper. They just have to cash the checks. Yeah,
you know,
so that's, I mean,
that's,
really corrupt.
That's a very good point. I just want to add a little example, you know, in the news. the stock market is great and everything is up and blah, blah, blah. So all these little guys come to jump in and kind of ride it. But then the next day,
that's absolutely right. There's a tremendous amount of what's wrong in America in the past 35, 40 years.
Oh, sure. Let me
taking our funds and turning it basically as fuel for the but only benefiting the top. So that we put our money in our retirement funds in the and then lose it, you know.
Okay, Mark.
But Goldman gets it.
Right, but then if you're one of the rich guys, you just want to be richer, right?
We have a caller by the name of Mark, and he wants to
go for it.
Of course.
Sorry, go for it.
Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. I was just tuning in, and I may have missed part of the conversation in reference to geoengineering and weather modification. But I actually have done quite a bit of research in this area, and I can speak onto it pretty well. So what I found is that, I mean, along the lines of global warming, we have, if you look and see at the amount of CO2 production that we're releasing into the atmosphere, it's at record levels. And since the Industrial Revolution, we're now in this exponential part of the growth curve where we have, you know, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something in the order of like 400 and something parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, which is a greenhouse gas. I think the half-life of carbon dioxide is something like 50,000 years. So what scientists have discovered and what they're doing is a move to kind of, it's like a technological fix for this basically increased amount of global warming of CO2 gas into the atmosphere. And so they studied and noticed that during an eruption of a volcano, it created this umbrella of particulate matter and ultimately caused the ground temperature to increase and the temperature to decline. And so this is basically what they're replicating with the geoengineering program. It's a form of solar radiation management. They're pumping aerosols into the atmosphere, and it's reflecting the sun's light. And in addition to that, they're also doing weather modification. Just recently, the Coca-Cola company bought 29,000 acres of citrus in the state of Florida in a partnership with the Department of Agriculture. Now, there is absolutely no governance over weather modification. There's 36 companies in the state of Florida that are actively involved in it. And NOAA is keeping all of the records of this, NOAA being the National Association of Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And so it's gotten completely out of control. Private corporations are hiring private corporations, and they're basically modifying the weather constantly. And obviously there's a fallout from it. It's basically like the 18.1 million people that live in the state of Florida are all being subjected to it. We're all subjects in basically a widespread experiment. And
I think I might start smoking again.
What's that?
I might start smoking again. At least I breathe it through a filter, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what? It's I've been working in agricultural science now for about 6 years. I'm a soil scientist, compost scientist. I understand the biology of soil and the chemistry of soil, and it makes me very nervous. Mm-hmm. I actually called recently News Channel 13 to speak directly to the meteorologist because I've been seeing the way that the weather is being modified to the extent where, I mean, I'm driving back and forth across the state. I'm taking pictures. I'm documenting literally weather modification happening, planes flying over cloud systems and causing it to rain. And what I found through my research is that we're at the height of this weather modification in terms of the seasons, we're at the height of it now because they could seed cumulus clouds during the summer months with the specific moisture, and it results in almost 100%. 100% of the times, it results in rain or precipitation.
You know, Marco, could you post that in punkonomics.org for our bloggers?
Oh, we'd love to.
I mean, that'd be great.
We're also Punkonomics on Facebook. Whatever is useful, it'd be lovely. We could.
What, in my research, one of the best websites that I found, which really is like a compilation of all of this information, or definitely a good basis for it, is the Agriculture Defense Coalition.org. And it's a woman named Rosalind Peterson. So she's given. She was a former FDA scientist for like 20 years. She's given dissertations at the UN. She's an activist about weather modification and geoengineering. And you can go on there, and that's a great start to really educate yourself on what's happening. And it was crazy, even just speaking to the weatherman, who is a professional meteorologist, he said to me, "Oh, yes, this is weather modification is theorized. It's a theory." And I said, "Well, it's not a theory, actually. All you have to do is search weather modification companies."
It's not even new. I mean, this is old technology. This is 40-year-old technology. We've been doing that, in the Middle East, actually, it's done, where rain is in shortfall. I remember, you know, in Israel, this being done. I mean, on the radio, they used to say back when I was a kid, so we're talking 70s here, that actually they would seed the clouds, basically, like that.
Yeah.
The thing is, okay, so, you know, I'm not surprised. The problem, again, that came out to me, I mean, because we have that problem, right? I'm not a scientist. I don't know exactly how it works. You know, Mark is. And to some extent, as the responsible citizens, we have to kind of bone up at least on some level of layman science just to because nobody's protecting us again, right? So a priori, I'm not necessarily opposed to a technological solution. I mean, we're in a catastrophe state. I mean, so like he was describing, right? It's already at a point where we're in a vicious circle, right? So it's too late to stop the catastrophe. Now we're adapting. We could have stopped when we knew it started 20, 30 years ago. We were quite aware, but we didn't.
Right, right.
So it's a bit late for that. So can we use that? Fine. But who is measuring?
I personally don't believe that it's too late to become active. The thing is that there's no governance over this, but there actually is. The title of it is Weather Modification Law of 2006. It all shifts all of it shifts to the local, the county, and the state level of government. It's all being disguised under solar radiation management, and all of these local municipalities are liable for this.
Yeah, we need to put money into research. I mean, like I said, like my buddy in the EPA, I mean, the people need to be measuring on public funding and figuring out if possibly doing this is okay. It seems like it's not, you know. I'm trying to be open-minded here, right? But maybe it's part and parcel of a movement. Though, of course, we have to be moving to sustainable energy. We have to be cutting down on a tremendous amount of use of energy. We should be doing a lot of different things, but this is maybe part of the arsenal of tools that we might have. But who's policing this? As you were saying, if it's generated at the state level, by even a federal government, is sponsored by companies that are for profit. So I would be surprised that whatever committee is set up on the House to deal with this issue. Who's sitting there? People funded by the very industry that's involved in it. So
you had made mention of the House Science Committee, the chairperson, and it was funny. I just watched a interview with Neil Tyson, DeGasse, and Bill Moyers, and at the end of that interview, it's great. Bill Moyers just destroys in a commentary this. I can't remember the representative. But he has excerpts of this representative talking about creationism. And yes, you should have not someone imposing their personal beliefs on a population, but you should have scientists, legitimate scientists, heading these committees and working for the greater good of the population, not someone,
But that's not good for the. But that's not good for the companies that control these. You know, in a sense, it's not that this is some kind of random Taliban that came out of the cave and took over the Senate committee. He believes what he says. I mean, I think he is an innocent in some sense, you know, and I don't mean it in a nice way. But there's a lot of profit in not regulating climate. So the source of the problem is political economic. And it's not changing because, I mean, I think what Neil deGrasse Tyson is doing, and I love how he spikes Cosmos. What a wonderful show on a regular basis.
Awesome show.
And I saw that interview and definitely recommend it. I think if I haven't posted it, I should, along with the reference that you gave us that I already pulled up, and I'll post it probably tomorrow.
Nice.
But along with the podcast, et cetera. But I'm kind of, you know, since the one place where I am qualified is economics, right? So I'm saying that the background of this is that the regulators are controlled by the industry. And it's back to what we were saying before. It's not, should I wait for Monsanto to care about the long-term health of my I'm using Monsanto because I posted and everything, long-term health of my children.
They have a picture of you.
Good luck with that, you know? Good luck with that. Or whomever is dumping whatever anywhere, fine. Maybe, I'm not opposed, I'm not a Luddite, I'm not opposed to technology. Maybe we should be putting aluminum. I'm just saying, you apparently told me that I'm wrong. Maybe we should be putting aluminum in the clouds. Who is checking that? Where's the peer-reviewed research that tells me that it doesn't have long-term effects? Where's the risk management of until we figure out the effects, we have to be very careful about it, etc.? And in some sense, we've been doing stuff like that in poor countries for centuries,
for
literally.
Longest time.
But now we're doing it to us, too, because essentially in our world today, the proverbial 99% of America, to the people who make decisions, to the people who own that idiot in the Senate committee, we are the same thing. I mean, Iraqis, Afghanis, African Americans, it's all the same to them. It's a class thing.
Right.
It's a class thing.
And in that note, we're going to play a song and come right back to our topics here in
Punkonomics. Yeah, thanks so much for the show, and you know, keep up on maybe on the internet and stuff. I keep saying I really would love, I mean, you put stuff up on you know, post, contact us. We'll bring it on the show. You call back. I mean, let's keep
yeah, absolutely.
I'll wait when you guys play the song, and then we can exchange some information.
Awesome.
Great.
All right. Well, Punkonomics, and of course, in that light of things, here we go, The Clash.
All right, we're back here in Punkonomics. Definitely a great discussion. Thank you, caller. We really appreciate all that info. And definitely for everybody out there, punkonomics.org. That's,
yeah, call us, contact us, tell us what to talk about, flood us with links, school
bring
us.
Bring it in.
Anything goes, please.
You know, and I have a very quick fact for now. Each day, more than 3,000 infants and children die from contaminated water.
Oh, that's all? So,
yep. Only 3,000. So, you know, there's actually a little
improvement. I guess we should switch to vodka. That'll work for us.
But we're going back to the Middle Ages, people, you know? I mean, European people from the, you started the beer, with beer. Yep. You went directly from your mother's teat, and that's a technical term.
Right.
To beer. To liquor, to wine and liquor. All your life, you'd never drunk water. You drank water, you die. You get dysentery and drop dead. So, yeah. I mean, we're going back there, absolutely, sure. You know. Why not, you know, middle-aged, you know. I'd like to say always, you know, if you have a middle-aged economy, you get a middle-aged lifestyle. What do you think, you know? That's how it works.
There's exactly. Nothing like a martini at 5 o'clock. I agree.
5 o'clock is coming, you know.
It's coming. It's almost there. Just 5.
Happy
wait
hour,
too long.
Right?
No, I mean, yeah, you can look. I mean, that I'm not even joking to say that that's a small number, because if you add to that just dying out of poverty, then you're getting into much larger
true.
Numbers and everywhere.
Or smoking or any other thing.
That's a deep question, and it's the human question. And let me bring back even, you know, the father of modern free market. I like to defend him, not that I don't have my criticism, but just because he's so different than those what word can I use on the radio? Those people who talk about freedom and free markets, and they're I'm with it, but these people are the enemies of that, you know.
Right.
That's what kills me.
Well,
have you
sense.
Seen the new commercials?
Adam Smith, empathy, yeah. Empathy. Yep. It's the core sentiment that has to work. So that can I say doof?
You can say the D word.
Well, it's shower in French.
Okay.
That's what that means. So we have an international show,
mm-hmm.
and we use foreign languages. So, you know, that playing the you know, coming up with PR campaigns to seem charitable while behind the killing goes on. And you know, poverty is the biggest killer, always has been. It's a violent killer. We can even go there. That's one of the things that's misunderstood by a lot of liberals, too, in that sense. You know, you have to be a radical to really feel this in a sense of understanding. Poverty, when it can be alleviated, poverty is a violent act. You know, the single mom that has no health insurance, no childcare, you know, living not a mile and a half from here, yeah, mm-hmm. No future, whose kid is already poisoned by all the chemical because she can't afford the upper middle class minimum
organic food.
You know, my kids tonight will eat, you know, green beans that just each small portion that I will force them to eat is worth, you know, what would feed a family of 10 at McDonald's, yeah. Etc. So that person is being violently attacked. You know, it's just like somebody came in with a knife and cut her children.
That's true, and the only option they have is food stamps, and then they can't even buy vegetables with food stamps.
Right
here.
Right.
Buy
lack of opportunity, reduced to poverty, disease, bad health. Poor people around the world, and now even in America, which is so shocking, suffer before they're born. They're already, their hope is gone. You know, just because their mother was pregnant and didn't have proper nutrition, already they have health issues and mental issues, etc. That plague them, and that is shockingly the case for a quarter of America children in America. A quarter of children in America. Yet at the same time, we have people taking jacuzzis and caviar. I mean, yeah. No, that's not even
not
that
really.
Doesn't
but,
even capture it. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. You
but,
know,
but we need to bring the other side of it. You know, isn't it always? The life cycle should be like that. There, you have to have the poor, and you have to have the rich, and you can't get rid of both. You know, it's just a cycle.
Well,
now here comes philosophy.
That's a deep question. Well, it's even an economic question. It's the question of the zero sum. Do the beauty here? Here we go. Back to Adam Smith. You know, the beauty, the core brilliant idea of the theoretical concept of an enlightened free market economy. Was the article? It took just actually my wife and me just worked on a paper on this, presented it, much success, need to publish the damn thing. We get around to it after vacation. Is
that 2 months throughout history, most since the dawn of time, since the first initial, certainly the Greeks, because I'm woefully not educated in other cultures, sadly, because I went to a leading Western university where it didn't teach us anything about anything other than
it's good
Greeks.
That you're acknowledging that, actually.
Yeah, it's important to acknowledge. I try and catch up. I've done some catching up, but it's just hard sometimes. But anyway, I mean, all the way from Aristotle, like everything in the West starts, right? I mean, it's a kind of a zero-sum game. So you have this notion that you have this natural order by which, in order for somebody to succeed, somebody has to be losing, yeah? And that really goes on. And like every idea, it didn't pop up into the head of one genius, you know? That's actually one of the problems with teaching history as, you know, the succession of brilliant dead white men, yeah? No, it's a lot of people, and there's a lot of non-white and non-men, you know, involved, and we don't have them in the textbooks so much, and people come with ideas in parallel together and cross-fertilize and etc. So Smith is maybe the guy who really kind of articulated in a very clear fashion, if anybody bothered to read him anymore. But the people who are all free market, members of the Adam Smith Foundation, trust me, they never read a word. Oh, yeah, they read the standard citation, but they didn't understand if they read, clearly. He was quite the radical.
So for the regular person, who's Adam Smith?
Well, Adam Smith is this famous guy, invented the greed is good, right? But no, not really, not at all. The invisible hand.
The invisible, yeah.
Yeah, which and he only mentioned it three times in his entire writing. Yeah?
Exactly, yeah.
But he articulated, he developed modern economics, this notion of this free trade world in which unhindered competitive markets would lead to the best for everybody and that kind of thing, yeah? Maybe we should develop a whole show for Adam Smith. That might be interesting. Yeah, yeah, we could do that. Get around, you know, just catch up with life a little bit. But maybe actually writing that paper finally will be a good background. Mm-hmm. But he did have... And the physiocrats before him. So again, he wasn't, give credit where credit is due, but he put it together. And essentially, my one sentence summary of Adam Smith's entire thought is maybe the greatest idea of all times, where social justice and economic efficiency are complements.
Yeah.
They're not trade-off. In fact, you get the poor less poor, maybe not instant, you know, but give them a path to success. If you don't completely screw it up, you have a chance, yeah? And the rich can continue to be rich, but temperance. He was a religious man, by the way, Adam Smith, and he was about the virtue of temperance. Very important, you know, prudence. Sorry, prudence is technically the virtue, but temperance being just the balance, yeah? Not over, you know? So if Smith was alive, and like I said, he was by today's standard, if he came out of his grave, he would sit with his... You know, people are much inspired by him, all the founding fathers and stuff, and they would have to join in America today, in today's political spectrum, they'll join the Communist Party, you know?
Oh, they'd be radicals for sure, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be like extreme left. They wouldn't find a home in the Democratic Party, yeah? A Green Party they'll join, you know? Seriously, I'm just saying, eh? Maybe not Hamilton. He'd be just a Democrat, you know? But Franklin, you know, he'd be all right.
So you're projecting he's projecting a system where the poor can still access health care, can be able to eat.
It's a functioning poor.
You know,
higher skills.
Yeah. Right.
Get less, potentially even be non-poor. Be all middle class.
They have the opportunity.
Some higher, some lower. All middle class. And does this sound Marxist a little bit, perhaps? A classless society. But that never worked out in the East Europe or anywhere near. Because just some other guys
oligarchy
use...
Oligarchy at best.
You can use Adam Smith's name to create a... hell on earth, a capitalistic hell on earth, just like the Soviets used Marx's name to create this so-called socialist hell on earth. What it was a hierarchical society with bosses at the top, and the only thing trickling down is something I can't mention on this radio. whether it be, you know, in Soviet Union or in America today, you know. Right. In many ways, by the way, one of the shocking things for a guy who kind of traveled around a bit and stuff, and I always... like to say, maybe it's time I remind it. I wish my granddad was alive. Of course, he'd be like 100 or something, but he lived in communist countries all his life. I wish I could have a couple of shots of vodka with him and joke with him about, my God, granddad, I'm living in America in the 21st century, and it reminds me the stories you told me about Czechoslovakia in the 70s. The bureaucracy.
That's scary.
I'm sure that would be similar.
All of the leadership, you know, when you hear all these people, you know, lying like that. I mean, it just sounds so much like it. The media coverage,
So America is now covering Ukraine. Mainstream media in America is covering Ukraine. You think you're reading Pravda in the Brezhnev days in terms of, you know, the heroic freedom fighters have rolled into the streets of...
Exactly,
I mean, it's just like,
right,
it's
yeah.
a nightmare joke, you know? It's something Beavis and Butthead meets, you know, Terminator. I don't know what's going on, you know? I'm losing it, I'm telling you. But you see, so maybe you don't have to be a multi-billionaire. In some sense, that's where you have higher taxes. And corporations, once they are doing great and they give bonuses and they all drive the latest Audis and they live in a 20,000 feet mansion on the beach somewhere, okay? And they have one private plane and one private helicopter. Enough! But now we have trillions of dollars offshore sitting in banks while this country's going to hell. Because corporations don't pay taxes, and because they've legalized, you know, they've legalized theft. That's what I'm saying. Back to this America being so corrupt. It's like, by the books, we're not corrupt, but if we measured ourselves realistically, we'll be like Zimbabwe, you know, because even a country like Zimbabwe, and I'm sorry, my Zimbabwean friends, you know, you have a hard life, because really that's a messed up country, you know, and really have, in many ways, sadly, you know, didn't work out.
But the point that you're saying that America's economy is going, you know, down... Does that bring the Chinese up?
Does it almost matter to some sense? Who's the Chinese? Right? The majority of the Chinese have been eating the same...
And they're still working in the same rice paddies today, the majority.
Oh, no, no.
No,
I,
it's much worse.
No, I mean the U.S. corporations who have their money overseas and they're not bringing it back. Are they going to go and, like, for example, sit in China, you know? So all the money will be in China.
In some sense, right? You have very wealthy people in China, massive wealth, concentrated, not trickling down to the majority of the Chinese. Mm-hmm. Billion people... wished Mao was back because things were much better under him. I mean, that's one of the things we have to. Maybe it's, you know, we're getting there. I mean, I see where we're looking at the clock here and need to wind down. But sometimes, right. You know, you compare. I mean, things have gone pretty bad in most parts of the world over the past couple of decades at least. Yeah, China actually in the 90s was doing rather well. Even the poor were seeing some advances. But that's been gone for the past 15 years. So, you know, sure, we go to Shanghai. I haven't been, you know, but, and it looks apparently like, you know,
space age city.
But
100
that's,
miles out to the country, and it looks like the third world again.
Yeah.
So.
But they used to have better conditions in some sense. Again, certainly in the, China's always had a lot of poverty. And it's not working. In Venezuela, just go back to where we started, you know, poverty. The one place in the world where massive poverty reduction, the bulk of the people were dead poor, you know, hungry regularly, no access to healthcare. Now almost all of them do. So you don't like Chavista? Fine, you have every right to. And by the way, they have a democracy and you can elect, and they regularly do elect opposition people too. But this notion, you know, that's the core problem of the world.
R.I.P. Chavez.
I mean, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, but you know, we can still do better, and we could if clever people got together and tried to solve our problems. However, nobody's trying to solve our problems. Everybody's trying to get, you know, the billionaires want to become trillionaires, and...
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
There you go.
As a human race, we're out of time. Then as the show, we're out of time.
That's
too.
What my psychologists usually say. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. We're out of time. Anyway, thank you, listeners. Remember punkonomics.org, the blog. You can definitely post your questions or comments up there. Definitely Dr. Balick is on it 24/7. I don't know when the guy sleeps. But on behalf of all of us, what can I say? Have
I don't.
A great
I'm
week.
I'm so stressed out and nervous about the future of the human race.
Well, while you're gone in Europe, right? I'm taking care of your cats and dogs.
Yeah, you better.
At least.
You better.
Anyway, take care, folks. See you again next week. Punkonomics here on the WPRK, Winter Park, Florida.
Bye bye. Thanks a lot. Thanks for.
Interrupting all programs.
This is Oliver Stone. Thank you for listening to WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. There's no profit in this form of media. Enjoy it while it's still free form.
True.